So joining us for his weekly chat is the former Leeds United owner, Ken Bates. Good morning, KB.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very well. Looking forward to Christmas.
Fantastic. So, starting off, another team looking forward to Christmas, Leeds United, after a last-gasp winner over Brentford, puts them fifth going into the Christmas period. It's been a good time for Leeds over the last couple of weeks.
It has indeed, and I'm getting a bit repetitive, but as I go back to the end of August, beginning of September, when we were in the bottom three and everybody was despondent and there was demonstrations against Massimo Cellino, with placards and all the usual rubbish that people do when they think they're being clever and in fact doing nothing except upsetting the people that were there, including the players. But fortunately, Massimo ignored it, and so did the players, and they got on with it. And it's very interesting when you now read what Mr. Monk has said, Gary Monk has said, about where we are today. And he's saying, basically, they've got on with it, settled down, and worked hard. But the other important... I mean, some people have been bemoaning the fact that Terry was scoring so many winners in the last few minutes. But what we have to remember is this. Football's for 90 minutes. And many games are lost in the last 10, 15 because players lose their fitness or they're not up or run out of puff. But our lot clearly are going on, are very fit, tribute to the fitness coach, and the fact that they're overcoming the opposition when they think possibly that game's over, they relax a bit and there's concentration and we're keeping going and popping the odd one in. Well, it'd be nice to win by 2 goals or 3 goals, but 3 points is 3 points is 3 points. And how we get them isn't important as that we get them. So I think we can look forward to Christmas and New Year with quite good hope. Long way to go. Long way to go. But people should be very happy at Elland Road. So it's with Massimo, because if he's in the top six, he won't have to refund, was it one-third of the season ticket money? It should be a double whammy for him. And I'm sure the fans, the canny fans of Yorkshire and Leeds, won't begrudge the change. Or not getting it. So let's all get together and get behind the club. Let's make our good new resolution. Present the nicer side of Leeds to the world. Because more people watching now and observing. So when people want to say silly things, chanting in the grounds, or put them on Twitter, just remember the world is reading it, not just you. Therefore, if Leeds are going to achieve greatness, then they have to be presented to the world as a great club and behaving like a great club. And now, we know we've got Cambridge United in the FA Cup at home. That's a bonus. We can get upsets. But we're at home, and hopefully we'll be in the last 32. We'll see that Gary's giving the players a few days rest in advance of the Christmas programme. And that gives us our three injured players a chance to recover a bit more and so strengthen the team. So things must be very cheerful for them, and should be. Let's go forward into the new year, confident and MOT, marching on together. That really means we have to be together.
It's as you rightly say there, Ken. It seems as though people are beginning to really look at Leeds United now as a force again, which is something that they haven't done for quite a while, seeing them as a side that can actually go on and get promoted this year.
But more importantly, you know, Leeds, Elland Road should be an intimidating atmosphere. When the visitors arrive, it's walking through a noisy, walking into a noisy environment. When they hear the fans shouting and screaming for the team, even if they're losing or not playing well, it is intimidating for the other side. In the old days, you say, hey, playing at home is worth a goal. Start, because the fans, home crowd, were the 12th man on the pitch. And that's how it's got to be. That's how it should be. And I'm sure that's how it will be.
And they go into a busy sort of Christmas period, not as busy as over the last few years. There seems to be less games this time around than before, but they've got Simon Grayson's Preston on Boxing Day, a trip to Aston Villa between Christmas and New Year, and then Rotherham on the 2nd of January. How important are these three games for Leeds United season? How important is the Christmas period for Leeds United season?
Let me just tell you a little story, OK? 50 years ago, I was at Oldham, my first venture into football, and I had Jimmy McElroy as the manager, Northern Ireland player, brilliant player, also very whimsical. And he said, do you know what I can't understand, Chairman? I said, what's that? He said, when they ask you how important this game is, he said, you know, I feel like I don't give a damn, I'd rather be playing golf. So I just put that to you when you ask that question. And the answer is, they are important. All games are important. The three games you've mentioned, all 3 points, they're equally important. If we beat Rotherham and lose to Preston, we've certainly got 3 points out of six. And beat Preston and lose to Rotherham, then 3 points out of six. So every game is important. We're not going to win them all. I'm not about those three. I've been games in the season, but yeah, you win some, you lose some. You lose games you deserve to win. You win games you don't deserve to win. Yeah, football, part of the challenge. So the short answer is every game is important.
Who's stood out for you at Leeds United this year, player-wise? Who have you seen and really admired and thought that they've stood out?
Well, it's a bit difficult to say that because you can't compare the goalkeeper with the striker, can you? You can't compare a defender, again, with an attacker, because the attackers get all the glory. They're the ones that pop the goals in. They're the ones that make the headlines. The guy that puts himself about a bit at the back unobtrusively. So it's difficult to comment. But there's no doubt Charlie Taylor done well. And Cookie's gonna have something about it to score so many goals. Just hope the Messer can hold them together and persuade them that their future is at Leeds rather than elsewhere. Got too many of our good young kids are playing elsewhere. Let's hope that is something that will stop.
And it has been an issue over the last couple of seasons, is that people like Sam Byram have left the club, Charlie Taylor, his contract is running out soon as well. And then there's quite a few loan players at the club as well. So it seems as though if Gary Monk wants to keep this run going, he needs to keep these players at the club.
Well, the problem is that a good example, Fabian Delph, when his contract is coming to it, in fact, it wasn't coming to it, I don't think, if I recall. His manager, agents make or break players, make or break their careers, and also contribute to the making or breaking of clubs and teams. But I remember Fabian Delph's agent coming to see me, and he was one of the good guys. He sat down and just explained that it was clear we were not going to get promotion that particular season. Well, Fab was at an age where he obviously wanted to play Premiership football. And the agent asked if we let him go. And said that he would make no noise and cooperate fully so we could get a good price for him. So at least try and replace him. And Manchester City wanted him. You see, when they were throwing money about right left and centre. And Aston Villa wanted him. Martin O'Neill was the manager, I think, then at Aston Villa. And we negotiated very carefully. We didn't like the atmosphere at Manchester City. Because, well, certainly in my day, when we sold our players, did sell our players, wanted them to go to good homes. And then Manchester City swiped one of our juniors. And being arrogant, I think they offered us 100 grand or something. And Dave Richards, bless his heart, entered into negotiations. And you know, I can't remember the boy's name now, but I know we got 700,000 for him. But then City asked for an option on Fab. And I said, if you complete these other deals. And I'm on the. I was on. O'Neill said that he had to fly to his boss, fly to Spain, see the owners, give us an answer in 48 hours. And he did. He did what he said, and he did what he did. And Fab moved, and we got £7-8 million, I think. But that was a way of it. The trouble is, you in this thing, you want to hold on to your best players. You obviously do. You can't stand in the way if they're determined to go. If you remember, we lost House and Snodgrass, and who's the third one to Norwich? And I think got some stick at the time about selling him off. So you don't sell him off. The trouble is, under the Bosman, once a player over 25 reaches the end of his contract, he can walk out. Let's end it. Up to 25, then you get compensation awarded by an arbitration if you can't agree a deal. So the arbitration award is always less than the negotiation between the two clubs. A case in Johnny Howson. He was a club captain, but he wouldn't sign a new contract. And I remember talking to him about it at Thorn Park. And he said, and I said, well, if the club captain won't sign a new contract, what kind of leadership sign is that? He looked at me and didn't reply. And he was determined to see his contract and walk out. And then we checked carefully. And the year, the football year ended 30th of June. I think in Howson was 25, I think it was, a week before the 30th of June. So on the 30th of June, he was 25, free agent. We got nothing for him. And if you remember, he was playing for us against Millwall at home, and he chased a late ball and fell out. It wasn't a foul, had no contract. He fell out and he ripped his ankle and he's out. He ripped it really badly. And he's going to be out for 6 weeks. Then Norwich came in and offered 1.8 million for him in his current state in the transfer window. So we took it. It was 1.8 in January, nothing in June. So obviously we've got some stick with him going then. But you cannot keep a player against his will. We have to try and make sure he wants to stay. And obviously everybody wants to play in the Premiership, apart from the bigger money. It's the exposure, getting near an international cap, hopefully travelling to Europe. But where we are now, Gary Monk's got a better chance of keeping his best young players because of their dream. And the dream is achievable where we are now. So what do you make sure? Same old story, how much do you want it? How much do you want it?
So let's take a sidestep away from football, shall we, and look at Why Spotty, the Yorkshire Sports Personality of the Year Awards, were announced this week. Alistair Brownlee was voted the Yorkshire Sports Personality of the Year. It's been a good year for sport in Yorkshire. Plenty of achievements around.
It's been a good year for sport in Yorkshire, isn't it? I mean, all the other field events, and including the tracks, we always do well. And maybe it's because all those hills and dales people have got more puff walking up and down them. And even Leeds is like a mountain. Leeds city centre. But, no, it's great. And it's something to be proud of. It's something we should be boasting about. Which, of course, Radio Yorkshire and TV Yorkshire are doing by letting people know around the world online that what successes we're having. And it's very great, very great. Maybe next year we'll do an awards dinner or an awards lunch. Something to think about. Once again, something nice to go into at the end of the year. And by the way, at the end of the year, the good news is today is the 22nd of December. For people who perhaps won't be minding, yesterday was the 21st of December. It's the shortest day of the year. So from now on, 4 minutes a day to get lighter. Then we get back to those beautiful Yorkshire summers. I can remember when I came to Leeds in 2005, walked in and saw Paula, receptionist, who I knew from the old days when Chelsea used to come up. I said, Paula, when are we going to get summer in Yorkshire? Old chairman, she said, you missed it. It was last Thursday afternoon. Both had a good laugh. And it carried on raining.
But Alistair Brownlee, as an athlete himself, is somebody who really encapsulated personality with the sign earlier in the, I think, the World Triathlon Championships, helping his brother across the line, pushing his brother across the line.
Everybody commented on that. And brotherly love. Because he could probably have won it or gone on, got a bit higher if he hadn't stopped for his brother, but that was nice. That was nice. No, everything's looking good. We've got the tour to Yorkshire coming up now to look forward to next year. And the compliments have to go to Sir Verity. Is it Norman? I can't remember his first name. But he's pushed out very regarding Welcome to Yorkshire. First of all, getting the Tour de France and now getting your own one going. That's very encouraging. Let's keep going.
And finally, KB, it's been a magnificent 2016, as it were, in some respects. Coming up to Christmas, do you have a Christmas message?
Yeah, I have. I hope everybody has a happy Christmas and a successful 2017. But all I would say is, in caution, how much do you want it? Your achievement, what do you want, your desires for 2017? Remember, you have to work for it. Can't sit on your backside and wait and while and wait for it to come to you. If you want it enough and you work hard enough, then more than likely you'll achieve it. But if you're unsuccessful, at least you'll have the satisfaction that you tried and did your best. Well, if there's one good turn you can do next year to somebody that you may or may not necessarily make their life easier or better, then do it. And you'll get a pleasure out of that. Rather than wasting money giving it to registered charities, do something direct to somebody, some person, help make their life better. And you'll get your reward. Be more than a thank you. Have a great time. 9 pints. Well, 9 pints as well. And here's to next year.
Thanks, KB, and have a wonderful Christmas and New Year yourself.
Thank you very much.